This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
If I keep cutting this, trying to fix it, I'm going to do a lot of damage here.
Don't keep going. Well, actually, yeah, go ahead.
Shush.
It'll be kind of fun.
Shush.
So it's like you know it and you can't help yourself.
I thought I did a decent job. And the bar was low, so the fact that it's acceptable.
See? Ryan's like, I feel like I under-promised and I over-delivered on that promise.
Yeah, right. So I think all told, it went pretty well.
I think I could go into public right now, and people wouldn't automatically stare at me.
People wouldn't. Kids would point.
Because they know.
Yeah.
Because
they don't
they're
have the filter.
Yeah.
People would look and go, oh.
Let's talk about your face.
Okay. No. Let's keep the focus on you. My face looks bad.
So
to the bone.
So walk us through. So Ryan just cut my hair, and he did it on the live stream. So if you missed it, you can go back on the Andy Fry YouTube channel, and you can watch. You took, I think, over 2 inches off my hair.
I do too. I think that, yeah, I think like Brad said, under promise, over deliver.
Well, that's not really.
We got you to agree to an inch. And so I thought,
that's
what's
really
going to be best for the people?
Over-delivering.
It is.
For the people?
Yeah, the people who tuned in.
We raised $16,525 or something. I don't know exactly the number, but I think that's close to it. We got a $10,000 match. We have an Andy Fry Show scholarship established with the Lutheran Elementary School Association for $26,000, and it will grow and it will continue in perpetuity, which is amazing. And if we got to our goal last Friday, I said I'd let Ryan cut my hair. Made good on that, and Ryan would shave his beard, and he made average on that.
I cut off the grayest part of my beard and the blondest part of your hair.
That's true. So how did this go down at your house last night for your beard shaving experience?
Well, I told my family earlier in the week that, you know, we reached the goal, so this is what I had promised to do, and they were like, why did you promise that? And then they kind of forgot about it because everybody's been sick, and you know, you guys have been going through the same thing. We've been dealing with a whole lot of just get through it this week, so nobody remembered that I was going to do this Thursday night. So I went into the bathroom and just used the clippers on.
So nobody remembered you were going to do it, and you
I didn't remind them.
Was that for a reveal?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted to see what they'd say, because if the reaction was big, then I'd know, uh-oh, that's not good. And if their reaction was like, oh, I didn't even really notice, oh, yeah, now I kind of do, something's different, then I'd know, oh, it's not that big deal. So when I thought I was kind of going down for the night, and I thought the kids were in bed, and so I went and I did the shave, and I was like, oh, man, it looks kind of weird. I don't know if I like it. My daughter came down and she was like, oh, Dad, I forgot to tell you something. And she goes, and I'm like, uh-oh. She just stared at my face like a baby, you know, learning to like grasp something new for a moment. What is this that I'm experiencing? So I knew it was not good. And she told me, Dad, that looks bad. You should never do that again. And then she asked me, how long is it going to take for your beard to come down? She's 10. And I said, well, about 2 weeks. And she just looked mortified. Like, I'm going to have to live with this? I'm going to have to live with looking at you like this for 2 weeks?
Is there any part of you that shaved it? You're like, you said you thought it didn't look good. There's no part of you that was like, I think I'm pulling this off okay.
Not really. It's been so long since I've shaved. I think it's been 7 years or so, at least since the kids were little, that they don't remember it. So I know it's been that long. And my wife doesn't really remember it either.
How did she react?
Well, she just saw it this morning. And she was like, she kept staring at me. And she couldn't, and I don't know if the light was different, but she couldn't figure out what was off. She's like, something. She didn't even say it, but I could just see it on her face. But she couldn't figure it out.
She wasn't like excessively attracted to you at the moment.
No. Normally, she's like, ooh. You know, even in the morning, which is weird.
Even in the morning.
Yeah. I'm like, what? Just wearing my boxers, you know, just walking around.
Okay. All right. And, I regret everything.
And she looked at me and she thought, just I could just tell on her face something was different. And it took her a while, and then she kind of shook it off. And then the kids go, the other two who hadn't seen it yet, who said, no, 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 no. What did you do? You did it. We told you not to. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then she realized, oh, you did that to your face. Because if you're in the right light, it still looks like I kind of have a goatee.
Yeah, from here, it doesn't look like you shaved off the chin.
I did, though. It's gone. I need to actually, like, straight razor shave it. Like, actually razor shave it, because it's just clipped right now. But, yeah, it's not ideal. I don't think I'm going to keep it. You know what's unfortunate? I told Ethan this, is that it's been so long since I've shaved my face that I realized that my face is just like a little fatter than it used to be.
Hence the beard, yeah, gentlemen.
And I've got, you know, it's like, I don't have like two chins or anything, but I can definitely see my neck a little more than I used to.
Why don't you read Jeannie's comment there?
Annie, that was more than an inch. Men. Oh, is she saying we exaggerate? I don't know.
No, I think she just thinks you're bad with measurements.
Most men are pretty good with measurements.
Yeah, but they think so.
Who, if you had to go into Ace Hardware, who do you think was buying most of the tape measures? I would say men.
Yeah, because they don't know what an inch is.
I kind of walked into that one.
Ace Hardware appreciates the shout out, though.
Yeah, right. I'm sure they do.
There's like, they got us on in the Ace Hardware right now, and there's like three men in the tape measure department.
Yeah. Putting them back.
Oh, that's not why I'm getting this.
Quick, grab a hammer.
I don't even need this.
This is for my wife.
Go look at the fridges and stuff real quick. Garden tools. Paint. Look at some paint. This is off-white, not regular white. Oh, man. Oh, man. I guess I'll go check out the tape measures one more time before I go, though.
This is a really... I can't think of a different word. Broad statement. Men are funny beings. They're pretty simple, and I don't mean simple as in stupid.
I do.
I mean, they need so little.
Mm-hmm.
Emphatic unison nods from the two men in the room.
Yeah, there's very little. It's like the same stuff that makes an animal survive. Guys are like, yeah, I'm good with that stuff.
I said to Ryan the other day, I'm not going to tell you who we were talking about, but we were talking about getting a liberal to come on the show. And I said to him, I was like, do you think that liberal is good at making arguments? Or do you think that I would be able to win that argument pretty easily? And your comment was that they don't make deep arguments.
That I know of.
Yes.
But I don't know for sure, because I just don't know. It's just like a lot of liberals, and people would say this about us, except that we actually fight all the time. Like we get online and go into the Thunderdome and whatever. But a lot of the liberals I know, they just don't really take their opinions into the public square enough for criticism.
What I said, I can't remember exactly how I said it. I don't know if you remember how I said it. But I said I would assume that the argument would go, we'd be talking about a particular issue, I would make my point, and as soon as I have won the argument, what ends up happening, and I think this is more of a men to women thing. I don't think this would happen if it were just men and men. But if I landed a really good point that proved my side of the argument, what I have experienced is that men will go like, "Oh, you're really taking this seriously," and they'll go into this kind of like, "I'm." She thinks she won, but I wasn't really playing the game kind of a thing. They do the same thing if you play pickup basketball with them. Like, they, as soon as it looks like it's starting to be competitive, they get sillier because they don't want to take it seriously because they don't want to lose a serious game.
Yeah, because your respect's on the line.
Well, and part of that is, too, like, if everybody starts taking it seriously with guys, that can really escalate a lot quicker, and it could become more aggressive than you really want it to be.
But that's guys and guys. Mm-hmm. That's not guys and girls.
Yeah. Well, I haven't played pickup basketball in a long time, so.
Guys and gals.
You're really taking this seriously, aren't you?
Man, yeah.
Well, as I told Ryan before, how did I say it? Like, you men? I said you men.
It was not flattering.
Ryan was,
you weren't intending for
Ryan
it to be.
Ryan was entirely on my side, and I'm like, all you men have to do, what did I say? I said something like, if I make the point that they're not taking it seriously anymore, and I said something like, "You men," and you're like, "I was with you until you made the you men comment. Now I'm not so sure." Yeah. I said that I think it's easy to play men in those situations, and I think it's pretty. I think it's easy.
In what situations? Define that a little bit more.
Men. Not on the whole, but I think that men are more likely to compete until if they'll enter the conversation. I'm just talking about an argument, like a disagreement, not between a husband and a wife, because that's a different situation. And that there's so much history that no argument that you ever have is just about what you're arguing at that time. You take every single chapter book of every single argument you've had before. But I think when men choose to argue something, they're in it, and I was talking specifically more about left-leaning men, not at which neither of you two are.
Oh, well, then I agree.
Well, you were with me until I said you men are so easy to...
you lost me.
It's just back and forth. That's the question. Are you on the side of conservatives or men?
Conservatives.
Yeah.
I don't have to think too long about that
one. No, that one's easy.
When men, I made the point that when men start to feel like they're losing the argument, they devalue the argument. They start making jokes.
Yeah, it's a way to save face.
Or specifically in the male to female conversation, they'll start, I don't think that they're specifically trying to demean women, but they'll be like, "You're cute when you're mad," or they'll start doing things like that, to which I'll say in my mind, well, I've won this one. And then they can feel like they've demoralized the argument enough to feel like maybe they won something.
There's a way for a man to win any argument with a woman. Like a really serious argument.
To shut up?
Whenever he feels like, uh-oh, this isn't going the way I want, you can just go, rare.
Here's your model.
And everybody's like, yeah, I get it.
You nailed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I people always say to me, like, why don't you have more Democrats on the show? Brad reaches out to Democrats regularly. I wonder if Cori Bush wants to come on now. She got time.
I could try that again.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder where you get a hold of her.
I don't know.
Do you think she'd come on the show?
No.
No.
Why not?
We can try. I mean, what does she have to gain?
She's going to book the show, and I'm going to get sick that day, and you're going to have to do it.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be great.
You'd rather Ryan
and
do
I'll
it?
Argue
okay.
her, and then at some point, no, I'll be like, whoa, rare.
And on that, at 2 o'clock, we're going to take your phone calls on the YouTube live chat poll. Are you watching the Super Bowl? Yes, go Chiefs. Yes, go Eagles. Yes, but indifferent or no? I have no idea how anybody in this room is answering this question, so we'll get to that at 2 o'clock. Come tune in and see. Tell me how my hair looks. Ryan, on a scale of 0 to 10, how'd you do? How's my hair look? Not how'd you do?
Okay. So how would I do 10? On a scale of 0 to 10, how you look? 0. Because of the how bad I did. Yeah. Your hair is uneven, and I can see that now. I couldn't see it while I was holding it. But, man, now I feel bad.
See? I did that too. Oh. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
My baby said I was crazy. My mama called me lazy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, next question. First one from me. What's the worst haircut you ever had? You ever have something that was absolute disaster, had to get it fixed, or maybe you just didn't know that it was that bad, and then you look back at it and you're like, okay, that was a mistake.
I had a skater cut when I was a sophomore.
Who didn't?
You?
Says you.
Did you?
No. Thank you for not giving me one.
I had a haircut. This isn't like I was going for this style. I can't believe I did this, but I went to a place that's known for cutting men's hair, and they had hired a new stylist, and I come to find out that stylists aren't necessarily trained on how to cut men's hair whenever they go through school. And she cut my hair.
It was a men's hair care place?
Mm-hmm. And she cut my hair, and she went...
So you went to a men's hair care place, and they were not trained to cut men's hair.
Right. Didn't know that. Found out afterwards. She cut a long back, but she didn't cross hatch across the side. And when my hair was wet, I left. I was like, all right, this looks fine. And then I got home and my hair dried out and I looked like I had spirals in my hair from where the hair had stopped being, where she had stopped cutting it.
In 1994, perms were in and I wanted short hair and I had like short, like at my ears hair and a perm.
You're doing something right now.
What?
You might live to regret.
I'm improving what you've done to me.
I'm not sure. I guess we'll see.
You did just say that I was a zero, so.
Yeah, but you know how I lean into the jokes. Also, what am I supposed to say? Like, no, Annie, you look fantastic. That would be awkward.
I'm like calling me a zero?
That was also awkward because you made it so emotional. You won that one.
Next question.
Have you ever fallen asleep in class?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Really?
Yes. I slept through so much school.
I didn't know that.
Well, see, the thing is, it's funny to be married to a teacher and hear, I said this recently, that I would love to do a segment where our spouses come in and tell us the wild stories about things that go on during the class and like the stupid, crazy things that students do that they get in trouble, because I just find those stories to be super funny. My husband doesn't, but I think they're very funny. But seeing things from the perspective of a teacher, I wonder like how many things did I think I was getting away with that teachers just didn't care about? But I slept in class all of the time. All of the time. I never did my homework the night before. I would cram in one, I'd cram in third hour to get fourth hour homework done, get it done, and then I'd like sleep.
Wow.
But I've always had sleep problems. Like it's not as bad these days. I've worked on some things to get that a little bit better, but I've always struggled with sleep. I've always struggled with mornings. Did my teachers all know that I was sleeping all the time? I kind of inclined to believe that they did, and they just thought maybe I needed the sleep.
I would be surprised if they didn't know that you were sleeping.
Yeah, I
definitely did the like one hand up on, you know, like your elbows on the desk and your hands kind of holding your forehead and you're facing away from the teacher.
You still look like you're not like passed out.
Yeah, I wasn't just like laying my head on the desk, but facing away. But then like your arm falls out because you jump or something in class. Right. And then you're like, oh, everything's cool. Everything's good. I love social studies.
Those moments when you're starting to fall asleep, but you have some sort of dream or something.
Yeah.
You wake up.
You jump.
Those
you
are
fall
so
off
weird.
The cliff and then you make sure you don't hit the ground, but you're sitting in your desk.
The very few times I've ever tried to sleep in a situation where I wasn't supposed to, probably in a classroom. I don't even remember doing it in class, but I remember being around my friends at one point in some social situation, don't remember what it was, where I was starting to fall asleep, and they'll still make fun of me because I started to fall asleep and then I jumped up and I went, oh, rabbit!
Brad, did you sleep in class?
I never slept in class. I fell asleep on buses and that sort of thing, but I never did fall asleep in
class. So you didn't then, Ryan? I'm the only one who did?
No, I didn't.
Whoops.
I didn't.
Next question, Brad.
I think I should have.
What is the worst backhanded compliment you have ever received?
When Ryan told me I was a zero about 4 minutes ago.
That wasn't a compliment.
That was just a regular insult.
Yeah, that was just...
No, that was just you being honest.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it was that one.
There was nothing complimentary about it. I think the most backhanded compliments I ever receive are pretty much every day in the YouTube chat.
What?
I know
what you're talking about.
It'll be kind of like, hey, you do a great job for a weekend host or something like that.
I've never seen that comment in the YouTube chat.
Oh, yeah.
That's because you're sick. You're at home.
2 days? on one of them where I actually sat and watched the whole chat the entire time.
That must have come when you weren't watching.
Well, that was actually me commenting.
One of our 18 accounts.
The most backhanded compliments we ever get are probably from each other.
Yeah.
Because we are like, I'm not going to actually compliment you, but I want to tell you that was good, but it would be awkward to tell you.
I don't know of backhanded compliments that I receive.
I think the worst one I ever got wasn't an intentional backhanded compliment, but it was right after I'd lost a bunch of the weight. And they were trying this. This particular individual was trying to inspire me by saying, hey, we saw that you lost all this weight, and we thought to ourselves, if Brad can do it, surely we can do it. And like, what's all wrapped up in that is like, wow, you shocked us that you were actually able to do that. It is something that was within your capabilities. And if you can do it, then surely we can do it. Because if
I forgot about Chris's comment that he just made for me. Annie, you do a great job for a girl. Thank you. You're listening to my show. That's all I got to say. Next question. Do you have another one, Ryan?
Yeah. How many coffee drinks per week would you say that you buy?
Well, how many days are there? Six?
One almost every day?
Maybe six and a half on average. I definitely try to get one at, for church. I just will yawn through this whole show because it's so boring. It's more a matter...
Whose fault is that?
It's mine. But I'm doing the best I can. I'm just a girl in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Probably six and a half. Scooters, they definitely know me. I appreciate them. What about you?
I fluctuate where some weeks I'll do five and then others I'll do almost none. So I'll say two or three.
I'm probably at seven to nine.
Holy crap.
You get multiple per day?
Some days.
Wow.
Yeah. But I just like coffee. So
apparently
it's not necessarily to stay up. It's just, I like it.
What is this? Did Scooter mean to say I look homely in braids? I'm trying to braid my hair right now.
Trying to look and see.
Next question, mine. What was your favorite part of COVID? Not the virus, so to speak, but the experience of it.
Well, I think it was not the virus. So
yeah,
that was, I could probably put that one aside. To start with.
I wanted to eliminate it.
Okay. Favorite part of COVID. The first couple weeks when it actually felt like everybody was kind of like, let's pull together. There was a real sense of this might be a big tragedy. Maybe we can actually overcome it if we all band together.
So the Cuomo days.
I guess. I don't know. The first 2 weeks in March. March 15 through the end of March. It was such a big worldwide event happening to every single person that it felt like, wow, this is history. Then it immediately became a burden.
I remember going home. It was, I want to say March 17th, but I'm not 100% sure. But we, excuse my COVID cough. I don't have COVID that I know of. We were told that Illinois, it was when Illinois shut down, Missouri hadn't, but Odyssey had said, we're going to broadcast from home, we're going to figure this out. And I remember being like, this is exciting isn't the right word, but it was so, like, it affected every inch of your life. It was so wild what was happening. It was like the snow day of snow days, and you didn't know when you were going to go back. But I remember vividly, I stopped at this grocery store that's downtown right before you get on the Stan Musial Bridge, and I bought a bunch of groceries because it was going to be a little bit of a different story buying in Missouri than at Illinois at that point. So I think I spent like $300 on groceries of just like frozen pizzas and everything to make sure that we wouldn't have to go out to buy stuff if, you know, we'd have food. And I got six people in my house, so we have a lot of people to feed. And I remember coming home and bringing the grocery bags home and bringing them in, and my kids were sitting at the counter, the countertop bar that we have in our kitchen. And I remember looking at them for a second and thinking, are we all going to make it? Because it was so scary. Like, what was happening was so serious and so scary. And I looked at my children that day and I considered all of our mortality, and it was not good. It was very heavy hitting. Like, I had to go outside in the garage and collect myself and come back in so that I wouldn't scare my kids. But with that being said, fortunately, everybody in my family, immediate family, certainly fared okay throughout the whole thing. We watched so many movies together as a family. We did so many things together as a family. I'm not so sure that my immediate family would be as... We're a very close family, and I'm not so sure that we would be as close as we were if we didn't do the COVID thing. Because we spent so much time together, we had to learn to entertain each other and like each other's company, and we did that. So in that regard, if there's a way to make lemonade out of lemons.
If the kids had gone back to school in August, September.
Mine did.
not Lutheran everybody's schools. Did. Mine did too.
Lutheran
but,
schools.
But people. Not everybody's did. If we had kind of started to say, okay, that's the cutoff, everything's going back to normal, you'd almost look back on it, again, virus aside, with a little bit more fondness. But it went so long, and they tried to use it so nefariously that there's very little to look back on and say, yeah, that was good.
When I look back on it, there wasn't one part of it that I would say that was my favorite part. I mean, I could probably pull an instance or two out of there for a silver lining, but really, if I had to pick overall, my favorite part was whenever it was in, when it was done. And I remember the anxiety. And the problem for me was, is with COVID, it went from the anxiety to the, wait a minute, what are we doing here? And it went flipped. There was no in between. It went from anxiety to irritation. And I was irritated with the government. I was irritated with people that were trying to shut us down. I was irritated with the people that were really, really, really freaking out over it. You know, I thought to myself, we could do these things, you know, more wisely. And by that time, I'm watching states like Florida open up and Missouri getting more and more open. And I was thinking to myself, guys, it's not what, like, this counter on CNN is saying to itself, and now I feel like I'm being oppressed. And so I was mad and irritated and angry until they lifted most of the restrictions.
I don't think Donald Trump loses in 2020 if COVID doesn't happen. And I don't think he wins in 2024 if COVID doesn't happen. And the scenario that we're in right now with his ability to lead in his second term with the mandate that he has, with the clear contrast of what the other side has to offer in that regard, I think COVID was the catalyst for his loss and his win.
On the heels of that, what's your favorite thing Trump has done so far?
Let's answer that when we come back.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break. We'll also take your questions in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. You can come see my hair. Does my hair look better now?
It's a 10.
Oh, thanks. Because you can't see it. I cut the rest off of it.
I can't win.
No, I braided it. So now it's a little safer, I think. Let us know your questions in the live chat. Also, go vote in the YouTube live chat poll while you are there. Are you watching the Super Bowl? Yes, go Chiefs. Yes, go Eagles. Yes, but indifferent or no? We're going to take your phone calls on that in the 2 o'clock hour. And more next question next. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Gosh, I love that kind of music. We are doing a little next question here on the Annie Fry Show. At 2 o'clock, the first segment of the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to take your phone calls on the YouTube live chat poll. Are you watching the Super Bowl? Yes, go Chiefs. Yes, go Eagles. Yes, but you're watching it, but you don't really care. Or no, you're not watching it. Annie Fry YouTube channel, we've got going on 350 votes here. So get them in here. This is kind of interesting to see these results coming in as to how many people care and don't care. The question you posed right before the break, Ryan, go ahead.
What's your favorite thing that Trump has done so far in this term?
Do you want to go first?
No.
No?
Yeah, I want to hear from you guys.
Tom Homan, border czar, complete and total fulfillment on the commitment to what is going to happen to secure our border. Just, there's no question about what his intention is here. The people who are coming to our southern border now compared to before, it's like they've gone. They've vanished. He stopped that problem, and he's going in and getting criminals out. The idea of sending criminals, people who are here who have done violent crime, to get them out of our society and publicly ship them to Guantanamo Bay. I've had this thought. If you're a gang member and you see these people getting rounded up and stuck in a holding area in Guantanamo Bay, do you want to go to Guantanamo Bay where all of these gang members are all put together and they're probably from different gangs? Like, that would be, I mean, I'm not in a gang, so maybe I don't have the street cred to feel differently, but I think that could be maybe the scariest situation you could find yourself in.
It's certainly a huge deterrent.
Huge! And he's just unashamed to go 100% in on the commitment. So my favorite thing, and I like all the things, but my favorite thing, border security, immigration, illegal immigration enforcement, getting these criminals out, Tom Homan, the whole deal.
It's going to be really hard to know how many people, just at the threat of both Trump or that Trump's going to be really hard on us or whatever, that he's going to be a no-nonsense president. It's going to be hard to ever know how many people self-deported.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. When I look at this, like, I really like Annie's answer there. I would have said that, but since she said that, my favorite thing is just how fast and how rapid he has rolled out every promise. He's like, I feel like what he's doing is he's putting in place what he said he was going to do. He's delivering on his campaign promises. We're not even a month in. And he has delivered on so many of those promises. But not only that, he's already working with Congress and with the Senate to get this, not just an executive order, but to make laws. But he's gone so fast and so hard and hit everything so quickly that his opposition doesn't have time to formulate a great strategy against any one thing that he's done.
So what was your favorite thing?
Just how he's rolled this out. The rollout has just been spectacular. And then everything that he's done, I really haven't come across something where I go, I don't know if I like that. So,
Ryan?
Doge.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue with what you said because it was like the most necessary immediate thing that needed to be done.
Your question is, what was the one thing?
What's
your
favorite
thing? So I wanted
to
pick the one thing.
Yeah. But I think that I expected him to do that. And so him following through has been great. Again, Brad, I'm not disappointed with basically anything. But the Doge thing has been a surprise. And I think we're just seeing the beginning of it and how much that's going to dismantle the whole opposition network and the money and the laundering through these agencies that was going to all these nefarious actors. Not just nefarious like, because they're on the left. That's wrong to do. But nefarious like you're funding terror. You know, Ted Cruz has been yelling, look at what this money was doing for Hamas. And I've had no chance to really dig into the claims that he's making, but just the fact that he's the one doing it, it's like everybody's got a different aspect of this going, look at this one, look at this one, look at this one. Man, there's so many areas that they're trying to clean up that I'd say Doge so far has been my favorite.
Next question, Brad.
So, where is it? What is something that is classy if you're good looking, but trashy if you're not?
Do you have something in mind?
I have a couple things I think about. One of them is like tattoos. I think that if you are a good-looking person, a tattoo can be a great accent. But if you're not a good-looking person, a tattoo can make you look more like a ruffian or something like that. One of the other things that I think, and this is more of a behavior, but like hitting on somebody. I think if somebody's good-looking, the same kind of quote-unquote line could be more classy than if somebody's not good looking, then it kind of gets a little creepy.
Because they're ugly?
Mm-hmm.
You guys, are you just thinking about men in that regard or women?
I think it's across the board.
Yeah.
You're both happily married men, but did you, when you were younger, would you have enjoyed a woman making the first move?
I had that happen a couple times. And I'm not trying to brag, but I am bragging. And I didn't mind it, but it was a little awkward because I think both times I happened to be dating somebody, it was like, nah.
How did they hit on you?
Well, one of them specifically was at a wedding in Chicago. This girl was probably a couple drinks in, and she was just like on the dance floor. Have you ever seen me dance? I don't dance real seriously.
I've seen you move when music is playing. Go on.
I have a dance called the Broken Arms Dance.
Yeah.
That is
a killer.
I think I've patented it. Nobody else really can do it.
And big moneymaker.
I look ridiculous when I do it. And I just kind of lean into all of the worst ways that you could possibly dance. So to be at a wedding.
It's hard for me to picture what that would be like.
Yeah. To be at a wedding and to have a girl actually hitting on you while you're doing that.
What was she?
I was almost questioning her judgment.
You just told me all of the things about you, and I asked you what she did to hit on you. I didn't ask you why you were so attractive in this moment to this drunk girl at a wedding in Chicago.
I wasn't. She was, but I'll tell you this. I was doing these ridiculous dances, and the dance floor was not that big. The venue was just not that big. So you were kind of dancing close to everybody anyway, and I'm already taking up too much space. And she was kind of grinding it a little bit on me, and I was like, I think that might be intentional. I don't think it's just because there's not that much space here. And then once I made it clear that I was not going to be interested, she... Here's the part that's not flattering. She just went on to the next guy.
I was just going to say, are you sure she wasn't just a drunk girl on the dance floor?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Any other time?
That's the number one.
Okay. But the question is, would you have liked a woman to make the first move and like
I'm still okay
throw a line
it.
On you
even
or
after
something
that,
like
that story? I'm still a thumbs up.
Still a very vivid memory for you, clearly.
Yeah.
She doesn't remember it, but...
No.
Brad?
The compliments are always so few and far between that I always appreciated a compliment or being hit on, whether or not I was interested in the person. So if you're asking, was I put off by a girl hitting on me? Not at all. Would enjoy it, but it very rarely, if ever, happened.
And you, Brute.
I was just trying to think of all the different ways that I could take this. I would never, ever... make a move. But there's a difference between girls. Like, I was a big flirt, but I would flirt with everybody. I tease people, but I get teased back. I mean, it's a give and take. So I think it's kind of a gray area. If you engage in the flirtatiousness with the opposite sex, I could see how a guy would maybe think that you were making a move. But if you're... Are you writing something mm-hmm. down? What are
the,
you writing?
The title of the hour.
What?
Annie.
I'm in the middle. He's never taken notes on anything I've ever said, ever. And I just said something. He's like, hold on a second. Got to write that down. Strikes. What did you write down?
Annie claims she's a flirt.
Oh, stop.
That's the title of hour two.
Well, I kind of am. But I never, I mean, this is, we've gone over this over and over and over again, but I would never make a first move on a guy. But I would also not, at the same time, there's a difference between making a move and being open in your behavior with them to being interested in them making a first move.
I don't know if every...
Women know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't know if every guy is like this, but I had no clue when a girl was flirting with me.
I think more guys are like that than women certainly
until
realize.
Until she went too far, and then I was like, whoa! That was unexpected.
She's coming out strong here.
And then you go, well, I'm not sure about that. But if a girl did it the right way, then I wasn't picking it up. So I'm not really sure how a girl's going to win.
Girls are just spending all of the time trying to make you realize that you should engage in something. If they're interested in you, they're working the angles to make it so that you think you make the first move.
Mm-hmm.
Eliza Schlesinger, or whatever her name is, has a special called Elder Millennial. She's a stand-up comedian. And it's like archaeology. It's science. She talks about it, and it's spot on. Next question.
How many times per show does your...
Seven.
How many times per show does your inner filter kick in?
Ooh.
Stop you from saying something?
That's a great question.
At least once a show. I don't ever want to take cheap shots at people. I genuinely, truly don't want to take cheap shots at people.
Like I do.
To your credit, I don't think that you take cheap shots. I think that, I mean, you might make jokes and stuff, but you won't do it just... You won't take the lowest blow, which is what I think a lot of conservative talk radio can be. And I think it's kind of ugly. And I will box this in. I went to Jersey County and spoke at their Lincoln Day dinner. I'm going to Macoupin County here soon. So if you're in the Macoupin County area, go to that event. I'd love to see you.
Macoupin?
The speech that I gave was about Illinois. Illinois, like, you watch the whole country, and the country is all headed in this red direction, and Illinois is like the sore thumb sticking out in the middle. But I think that Illinois has a golden opportunity here. And so I explain that, you know, we have to defeat J.B. Pritzker specifically, but I did it in the analogy of David and Goliath. Just talking about defeating the giant. And there were just a lot of opportunities there that I refused to take. And I think, for instance, Greg Gutfeld does a nighttime show. He can't pass up a J.B. Pritzker joke about J.B. Pritzker's weight. I am of the belief that J.B. Pritzker is such an absolute disaster for the state of Illinois that we lose focus when we make fun of him for that, because there are real strong issues that we need to focus on that get lost if you're just calling him fat. I don't ever want to go down in there. That doesn't mean that I don't think it, but I have to try to take the pitch all the time. And if I don't take the pitch sometime, then shame on me. What about you, Filter?
It's weird because I live in a filter in a way, but I can't say I ever, maybe once a week do I go, nah, I'm going to back off of that one. But you'll hear me do it. I will be actively saying whatever I thought and then go, no, I'm just going to stop. So it does happen.
What about you, Brad?
I would say probably on average 4 to 5 times per show I'm engaging my filter. And it's be it not appropriate for air, be it something mean that wouldn't hit right, or just taking, yeah, always constantly engaging with my filter.
I also think that the fact that we do engage our filter is one of the reasons why people like to listen to the show.
You know, the filter that I use the most is not one like, oh, that's a too mean of a joke. It's one to keep the flow going.
Yeah.
And obviously, when I choose to disrupt that flow...
He's made a commitment.
I made a commitment.
He's made a real commitment. Thank you for listening to the Annie Fry Show. We're going to be back for another hour here in 2 o'clock. Join us, give us a call, and answer this poll question for today. 314-241-9797. Are you watching the Super Bowl? Is this the year you're going to watch? Let us know. We'll be right back.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.